Hello, friends. Welcome to day six of the Divine Mercy Novena, where we continue to seek Jesus' mercy. Today, we pray for...
Today, bring to me the meek and humble souls and the souls of little children, and immerse them in my mercy. These souls most closely resemble my heart. They strengthen me during my bitter agony. I saw them as earthly angels who will keep vigil at my altars. I pour out upon them whole torrents of grace. Only the humble soul is capable of receiving my grace. I favor humble souls with my confidence. This day has a big meaning for me because talking about the souls of children, we have a lot of children in our home. We have six kids. Our oldest is 10 and our baby is 10 months. And we know a lot of people with young children, young families. Ken comes from a family of seven. I'm from a family of eight children. Safeguarding the innocence of children is of utmost importance. And I see that more and more as our society kind of likes to go, is going down one path, which seems very contrary and in opposition to the ways of God. And I think as parents, we need to take a proactive role in terms of safeguarding that innocence, that purity. And there are many, many great, beautiful resources that are coming out. So I want to share a few of those with you. But before I get to that, I was reading a little bit more of what Jesus revealed to St. Faustina in terms of these souls. And this is what he said. These souls send all of heaven into ecstasy, and they are the Heavenly Father's favorites. When I was teaching, I used to be a teacher. At the time, we only had one child. And in early in the morning, sometimes I would go and do our groceries, and I would stop at this big grocery store, and often there would be this young girl who had Down syndrome who would be, you know, restocking the shelves. And every time I would go grocery shopping, I would hope that I would see her because I just loved seeing her. It was like she was always joyful, always willing to freely give me a smile. For me personally, when I see someone with Down syndrome or, you know, disability of any type, it just really, really warms my heart because I feel like these children, these souls, whether they're young or adult, I feel like they are close to the heart of the Heavenly Father. So the reason why I share this story about this young girl is because I was looking up some of the statistics about abortion for children who are diagnosed with Down syndrome. You know, I think that this is probably on the lower end, but in the U.S., I think they said about 67% of babies who are diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted. And if you look at Europe, it's in the 90s. And then if you look at Iceland, they have done all but completely eradicated Down syndrome in their country. And I just think, what a travesty. Like, how can you look at a child like that and not smile or not receive joy? And these are the ones that bring ecstasy to the Heavenly Father's heart. Like, even every single one of my pregnancies, I've been asked if I wanted to have testing done to see if our baby has had Down syndrome. And of course, every single time I say no.
Because we will welcome any child God chooses to give us with great joy. Because every life matters.
And it doesn't mean that it wouldn't be difficult for whatever reason. But God never promised us a life of ease. So now, how do we protect the souls and the innocence of children? Okay, so a few of the resources that we have come across over the years. If you're looking for just some truth in terms of like how to deal with hard topic issues, this one's really good. It's called Made This Way by Trent Horn and Layla Miller. Tough moral issues. And they talk about like how to explain it to younger children and to, you know, maybe adolescents, because obviously the terminology that you'd use might be a little bit different. So this one is called Beyond the Birds and the Bees. And this one, I've had great reviews from my sister-in-law and a really close friend. It's all about raising sexually whole and holy kids beyond the birds and the bees. Okay, this one is really beautiful. It's called Wonderfully Made. So if you're trying to explain, you know, the marital embrace or, you know, sexual intercourse to your children in a way that really is glorifying to God, because, you know, our children are going to hear about it at some point from someone. And if we aren't the first ones to tell them, whoever is the first person becomes the expert. And so they are going to go back to that person if they have more questions. So it's important for us to be the ones who tell this to our children, and that it's not just a one-time conversation, but like that it can come up naturally and normally, because this is a beautiful part of God's plan. So it's called Wonderfully Made Babies, a Catholic perspective on how and why God makes babies. So it's for ages 9 and up. Okay, and lastly, in terms of, you know, protecting your child from pornography or seeing images that are inappropriate, really great resources are called Good Pictures and Bad Pictures. This one is for older children. our one that's for younger children is actually at our neighbor's house right now. I have to get it back from her. But so this one's really good. It teaches children what to do when they see an inappropriate image, because we live in a day and age where kids are being more and more exposed to devices. And, you know, even with the greatest types of filters or whatever protection software that you have, you just never know. Even when you see a billboard or you walk in a mall, it's important for children to know what to do when they come across maybe something that's inappropriate.
So I'm just going to jump in there. I think the greatest filter in terms of protecting our children's innocence isn't just things that we put on our devices, which is good. Mm-hmm. The greatest protection, the greatest filter is virtue. Then the child has acquired the ability to live a chaste life. And that's what we want. We don't always want to have to rely on these things. We want to build mm-hmm. children up in the love of God. And so, yeah, those things are good. But we need to build virtue into them.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. Yeah. And by modeling virtue ourselves as parents.
So when we do these videos, I don't know what Janelle's going to say. She doesn't know what I'm going to say. I don't know if she's going to pull out these books and stuff. And so I just had a feeling she would talk about children. So I'm not going to touch that. For me, it's the meek and humble souls, specifically the meek. I want a quick comment on that. Why? Because I find it difficult to understand what a meek person is and what that virtue is. So let's look at what St. Alphonsus Liguori says. The virtue of meekness consists in two things. Number one, in the restraining the motions of passions against those that provoke us to anger. And two, in bearing insults. So just quickly, I think we've lost meekness in our culture.
Yeah. I get offended when someone insults me. I don't bear it very well.
So we don't bear things very well. And then we have a distorted understanding of the right to free speech. Because we have the right to say something doesn't mean we should say something. And we have lost this. And meekness regulates this a little bit. So we get offended. So we think, well, I have a right to say something. Well, you might have the right, yes, but doesn't mean you should. So meekness draws in that anger. And I just, maybe you can recognize this too, the use of social media. It's an instant response to somebody's comment or to a situation that's happening. So does that mean we never correct somebody? Well, this is what St. Alphonsus says.
It is neither charity nor meekness, but it is negligence and even cruelty to the poor souls that thus remain in the state of damnation without being admonished of their miserable condition. Meekness then implies that when it is necessary to correct a brother, we should do it with firmness, but at the same time with sweetness.
So you know that there's stuff out there, people constantly correcting people in the church. Ask yourself the question, is it done with a sweetness or is it done with harshness? It's very important. So here's a caution. Watch out and look for meekness in the delivery of any word of correction, because what we say and how we say it both matter. For example, I can turn to Janelle and say, I love you. Now, I can say that in many different ways. I can say, I love you and roll my eyes. Or I can say, I love you with tears in my eyes. Rolling my eyes and tears in my eyes with the words, I love you, or mean something very different. So friends, just something to think about. Are we responding with meekness to the world, to how we use social media, to what we are consuming in social media? This is something that I'm striving to grow in, because when I come to you and I share a message, and if I ever issue a word of inspiration to inspire someone to change, I hope it's done with sweetness. And I hope you encounter the sweetness of Jesus through these videos as well. So friends, I know it's a longer video, but thank you so much for watching. We'll pray for the meek and humble souls and souls of children. Divine Chaplet of Mercy right up there. Comment below. Please share with us what stood out to you and why. And we'll see you tomorrow.